Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Come on, Jesus.
I'm sold out. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Media, please keep helping us. There's still some feedback that is happening. Hallelujah. Read verse 36 one more time. Verse 36 is really what I'm looking for.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them.
When he saw the multitudes, multitudes means many of people, many people. You understand? Not a few people. If I'm a pastor, or I'm an evangelist, or I'm a prophet, I'm doing that type of work. When I see many people, I'll be happy, isn't it? But this Jesus, when he's seeing people, he's rather feeling sad, brokenhearted. Now, why you should be happy that your crusade, you know, you can say that 1,000 people came to my crusade, 5,000 people came to my crusade. But Jesus, the Bible says, is rather heartbroken. Why was he heartbroken? The Bible says, when he looked at the people, they had fainted. Her version says they are weary, tired. They are at the edge of their lives. The Bible says that they were scattered abroad. In other words, they were wandering aimlessly on the earth, without purpose, without vision. Many human beings are moving around the earth aimlessly. They are not living for anything. You wake up, go back to sleep, there's nothing you are living for. And you are chasing the same things that everybody else is chasing. There's nothing that separates you or makes you different from other people. And many of us, we are chasing, as we say, we are chasing the air. Can you catch the air? I tried to catch the air, let's see. Many of us are chasing air, we are chasing wind. Our whole lives, we are chasing things that we cannot grasp or handle. So Jesus, it bothered him that the people are growing tired all the time. Many Christians come into the faith with so much zeal, so much passion. Oh, it's so nice to serve the Lord. But because when you become a Christian, you are not exempt from problems and issues. Even though you're a child of God, you still go through difficulties. Have you noticed something like that? So what generally happens is that the children of God get weary. Their faith weakens. And they become tired. And they start compromising. They believe in God, but they also have a backup plan. I love Job. Job said that though God himself is the one killing me, yet will I trust him. I'll keep trusting him. I've got no other God. David said, in heaven, I don't have anyone but you. On earth, I don't have anyone but you. So, with my teachings and my preachings, and as you notice, I'm doing it patiently. I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere. Can you see? And I'm not shouting, I'm not jumping, I'm not sweating. Can you see? I will preach it until it moves from your brain to your heart. And until it causes you to start doing something for God. I don't want you to live an aimless life. A life without purpose. A life without vision. When you become a Christian, God places value in your life. You suddenly become extremely important. Are you listening to me? But one of the things that makes you even more important is when you take the decision that I'm not just going to live for my next bread. I'm not just going to live for the clothes that I wear. I'm not going to live for, you know, the house that I live in. But I want to live for a higher purpose. It hurts the Lord when you are not living for any purpose at all. Some people, they have purposes, but their purposes are so far from God. Your dreams are so far from God. Many of you, it is the grace and the mercies of God that you haven't tasted money. Because the day you taste money, hey, Nkosiam, Jesu Christo, Libro Ziva do Kojiba Yaku. Because you're living aimlessly. The minute you touch money, hey, it's scary. There was just some guy, he won, did he win money or road accident fund? I was talking about him in the Easter. I think he got 1 million or 1.6 or 1.8, something like that. One time, Omar, he went to a bank and he asked for the loo. And they said, there are no toilets here. And he just urinated in front of people. Just because he's got 1.something million. Some people, when they get money, they become mad. By the way, it's a true story. It's not even there. It's because people are just living aimlessly without purpose. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, the reason for this problem, the reason why people are getting tired, the reason why my people specifically are getting tired, are getting weak, and are no longer strong in their faith, the reason why they are moving around the earth aimlessly is because there are no shepherds. There are no people who are willing to give themselves for the work of God. Everyone wants to do everything, but very few people want to involve themselves, get their hands dirty where the work of God is concerned. And when Jesus saw that, it broke his heart, because he knows that sheep need shepherds. Sheep are not like lions, where they just move around in the wilderness. They are domestic animals. They need a shepherd to take care of them. Am I talking to somebody? And as I've been saying, and I'm continuing to say it, and I will continue until it enters your heart, that I want to recruit you to not just be a chairperson. In our church, we call a person who comes to church, sits down, and goes straight after church. We call such a person a chairperson. Hey. So I don't want you to be a chairperson. I want you to be a person whose heart is for God. And you don't just give God lip service. Oh, I love God. God is my best God. But where are the proofs? Ask your neighbor, say, where are the proofs? Hallelujah. So I'm busy teaching on how you can become a shepherd. Last week I was telling you that a shepherd in church, there are two categories of people. There are sheep, there are shepherds. As you are sitting there, you are either a sheep or you are a shepherd. A sheep is someone who is being taken care of. A shepherd is the one who is taking care. Some of us here, we've been Christians for 15 years and you are still a sheep. This can't go to hell, some believe. Years in the Lord, and you say it with confidence, I've been a Christian for 22 and a half years, but you are still a sheep. We have to visit you, we have to call you, we have to check if you are reading your Bible, we have to check if you are, it's like we baby in you. You know, many people, when I preach, they get angry, okay? I'm just teaching you the word of God. So, what differentiates a sheep and a shepherd? A shepherd avails him or herself. In other words, some of their time, they make it available for God. Avail some of your time for God. You can only give God 1 or 2 hours on Sunday. Even after 2 hours, you'll be checking from this to Tata's account. This side, you don't like amens, huh? Can I hear amen, please? Give God some time. Don't let your time become too expensive that it has even become more too expensive for God. That God can't afford your time. For other people, and me, they don't even have to ask for your time. But God almost has to beg you, my daughter, my son, I need you. Isaiah said in chapter 6, he went to heaven. When he got to heaven, he saw one of the most glorious things that a human being can see. He saw the throne of God. And the Bible says he saw God sitting upon the throne. And God wears dress, you know, like they don't do it these days, but in the olden days, when ladies were getting married, they'll have a dress that is long, that that has a tail. You know those dresses? Isaiah said God has a dress like that. And the Bible says that it filled the whole temple. So in other words, if this was the throne room of God, his dress would fill the whole place. And as Isaiah was looking, the Bible says he saw seraphims flying above the throne of God. And day and night, they'll be saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Ash. I wish I could have been Isaiah and just witnessed this glory. And Isaiah said these angels were not ordinary angels. They had six wings. With two they covered their feet. With two they covered their faces. Because you see, the glory of God is too great. They couldn't even look at it straight with their eyes like that. They covered their faces, and two wings they were using to fly. To cut the long story short, Isaiah said God began to speak. Now imagine God gives you this great experience to go before Him, to go to the throne room of God, and to hear Him speak to you. What would He say? What is the most important thing that God can say to you? The Bible says God said to Isaiah, "Whom can I send? Who will go for us?" I thought God was going to say, "Isaiah, are you taking care of your mother? How's your mom? Is she well? So, who can I send? Who will go for me? My people are perishing every day, every moment." I was telling you that the Bible says that the road that is leading to destruction, the Bible says that it is wide. And the Bible says, many there be that go on that road. And it's leading to destruction. And the road that leads to life, the Bible says, is narrow. And the Bible says, few are on that road. Now our job is to block that wide road and say, this is the wrong way. This is the correct one. So God needs people like that. And my prayer is that you'll be one of them. Put your hands together for Jesus. So, please, don't let your time be too expensive, okay? It is possible to die with regrets. It is possible to have regrets for all eternity. What we know and what we've been taught for many years is that there's no crying in heaven. Have you heard that? But the truth of the matter is that there's crying in heaven. And the crying in heaven is not the crying of people are suffering, you know, the same type of crying in heaven. The only people who cry in heaven are people who have regrets. I should have given more time to God. I should have served God. I should have gone to more prayer meetings. I should have read my Bible more. I should have been more prayerful. I should have given more of my time to God. Those are the only tears that you'll find in heaven. I should have done a little bit more for my God. Why didn't I do more? Because now you'll be in a place where the enemy cannot influence you anymore. Where the world cannot influence you anymore. Now you'll be seeing clearly. You say, I should have. So my job as your pastor is to help you so that when you get there, there's no should have. Let's do it now, while we have the time, while God is giving us life. Hallelujah. So to become a shepherd, you have to love the house of God. You must. Tell your neighbor, you must love the house of God. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Psalms 122, verse 1. Psalms 122, verse 1.
Psalms 122 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord."
I was glad. What does glad mean? I was happy. I was excited. I was beside myself when they said to me, "Let's go where? to Smokehouse, to Sentim, to Dubai, to Cape Town, to where? This is someone who loves the house of God. Now you have to remember, the person speaking here was a king. It's King David. With all the authority he had, with all the power that he had, he was still saying, I was glad. Every time I got the opportunity to go to the house of God, I was excited. I was happy. I was thrilled. Are you still excited to come to God's house? Do you wake up with a spring on your step? Today I'm going to church. You see, it has to begin with you loving His house. You must love the house of God. Love the house of God. Love the house of God. It is the house of God. It's not pastor's house. It's the house of God. Read Psalms 84, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 84, verse 1 and verse 2.
How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord.
How lovely are thy tabernacles. He said, O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth and even fainted for the courts of the Lord. This is someone who's always hungry, always desiring to be in the house of God, to be in the presence of God, to have the opportunity to worship God, to have the opportunity to serve God. How lovely, how lovely. Okay, Nompumelelo, they are not convinced. Let's read more. Read verse 4.
Psalms 84 and verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you.
This guy is saying that the people who actually live in the house of God, because they were Levites who used to live in the house of God. David was saying, I wish like I was those guys. I wish I can spend, I just live there. When I wake up, I'm serving my God. When I wake up, I'm praising my God. When I go through my day, it's my God. When I sleep, it's my God. It's like, how blessed are the people who live in the house of God. Can I hear an amen? This is a man who loves, it's the same person who wrote all these things. You can see that his mind, his heart, his thoughts, his soul is in his God and in the house of God. Read verse 10.
Psalms 84 and verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, of my God, than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
Wow. Put your hands together well. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Man who loves the house of God. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. He says, being a doorkeeper to me is big. There are people who, when they come to church, they say, Pastor, give me the mic. I want to show you something. David said that just to be a doorkeeper, I'm excited about it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Ladies and gentlemen, we must love the house of God. And anything that God gives us an opportunity to do, in our minds, in our hearts, it must be great. I'm serving my God. I'm a doorkeeper in the house of God. This is a king who is talking. It's not some guy in Jeff who's moving around in the streets. It's a king who has people serving him. But look at his mind. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than be in the tents of wickedness. Many Christians, once they start being promoted a little bit in life, then you know they become too and their language changes. You know, Pastor, I'm going to play golf and then you know the business and the ledgers and the okay. Me, I'm happy to be in the house of God. You have become too big for your God, the same God who's keeping you alive. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that an angel was instructed to go and stop the four winds of the earth. In other words, there was not going to be anyone who's going to be able to breathe. You see this nice air that you breathe? It was going to be stopped. God in his anger, he said, hey, this is too much. Let's not do it. God has blessed you a little bit now. Yeah. Comrade. Okay, let's continue reading. I feel people are getting angry. Psalms 23 verse 6. Am I convincing you to love the house of God? Okay. Psalms 23 verse 6.
Psalms chapter 23 and verse 6. Mm-hmm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And I'll dwell where?
In the house of the Lord.
Forever. I want you to notice of that. Everything we are reading is from one person, King David. Just think about the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So for him to be saying these things, imagine the heart that he has. That even God said, I have found a man who is after my own heart. A man who will do all my will. David was not perfect, but he loved God. He loved God and he loved the house of God. And he did his best to do the will of his God. And I'm not asking you to be perfect. All I'm asking you is to love your God and to give your God some time. And to be interested in the Christian sitting next to you. Whether you know him or not, whether you know her or not, he or she is your brother in the Lord. Luke chapter 4 verse 16. The book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16.
Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
Hallelujah. Now this is Jesus. Suddenly the Bible calls Jesus the Word. So he is the Word. He doesn't need to go to church because he himself is the Word. But the Bible says, as his custom was. In other words, every single Sunday. How many Sundays? Ushers. Sabbath is now our Sundays. He was in the house of God. The Bible says, as his custom was. In other words, it's like it was his custom. culture, his tradition, that on a Sunday I'm in the house of God. I don't care. Have you been to like shops like Kit Kat? When is there a prayer time? Even if you have 2 billion rand in your pocket, you sit there, you wait for them, they are praying. Oh, you don't know, you haven't seen it before. They close their shop. That's how important their God is to them. Because their custom is that every three times a day they are praying. I think on Fridays is even worse, I think, if I'm not mistaken. They close their shop. I tell you, I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how much in a hurry you are, at a certain time they close their shop. But we Christians, try. Someone say shame, shame. Your neighbor didn't hear you. Tell your neighbor, say shame, shame. We are not even running a shop on a Sunday. Grandmother flies from there, I don't know where. If they will not come with me on Sunday, they will wait for me there in the house. I'll go and worship my God and serve my God. When I'm finished, I'll go and attend my grandmother. Only about half the church is saying amen. You don't agree with what I'm saying, huh? When Johnny Bravo comes with his A4, Audi A4, the color that you like, Ingi, SRB, whatever she said. It's either he comes with you to church, or he waits there. Nagya Greke. You know, when I preach, I'm looking at you. If you don't say amen, can I hear an amen, please? Don't fight me with your silence. Hallelujah. Some people are new in the church. They don't know who's Johnny Bravo. Just whisper to them, this is Johnny. This is what Johnny Bravo means. Just explain what Johnny Bravo means. Hallelujah. Read for me John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17.
Chapter 2 and verse 16. Mm-hmm. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.
Look at Jesus. He doesn't call it, do not make the church. He personalizes it. He was probably not the pastor of the church. He was just probably going to church as he always went. And when he went there, he found people selling and having a marketplace in church. Hello? And would you know that there are churches like this even today? There are churches where while the pastor is preaching, someone will be walking a time, while the pastor is preaching. So Jesus saw a situation like that. It drove him mad. He said, in my father's house, they've made my father's house a marketplace. People are no longer coming here to worship God anymore. They're coming here to make money. When they see God's people, they don't see sheep. They just see like a cash cows. How can I squeeze money out of them? One day some guy came to our church. he was invited by someone. He was a keyboard player. And man, he played nicely. That guy, when he played for me, I just felt the anointing. I felt the glory of God. Do you see? So, I have a rule. I don't pay people who... do you get paid for it? There are some people say, every time I play a chord, it's 250. So as I'm preaching now, I'm counting. So we don't pay anyone who's working here. We don't pay them a cent. Do you understand? So this guy, at that time, we didn't have a keyboard player. He was invited by someone in the church because they knew that he could play the keyboard. And he said he was willing. And I told the person who invited him, I said, please tell him beforehand that in this church we don't pay keyboard players. Either you play for God or go back where you come from. So the guy said, no problem. I'll just play. Kanti, the guy was running a driving school. And his idea was that I must tell the church that everyone who is... wants to do driving, they go to his driving school. So the whole idea was to for his business, for his pockets, for his driving school. Not because he loved God. Can you imagine? I tell you, when he touched the keys, I could feel electricity. But he was not using it for God. He was using it for his driving school and for his money. When Jesus saw this, he said, my Father's house, my Father's house. France. So that guy eventually left. After he left, almost every sister in the prison worship came and told me that, Pastor, this guy was trying to propose. Almost every sister in the prison worship. Some people, you don't know why they come to the house of God. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't love God. They just come here to get something and then go away. When I was a young boy, there was a church that I used to go to. And a certain brother came in the youth. And we were so happy that, the brother has come and joined us. And man, there was a lady, our choir teacher, was a very fair lady. The Bible says fair. A few months later, the lady disappeared. Oh, where is Sister So-and-so? Nobody knew. The brother had taken her. They had become boyfriend and girlfriend. They were living together now in his flat. She, no more church choir leader. No, the lady completely left the church. Till today, she never came back to the church. The same brother also never came back. He came with one mission, that lady. That was his mission. That was his purpose. That was his target in life. That lady. When he got her, he took her away from church. May you never be a target in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't see amens in this area. Can I hear amen, please? I'm watching you carefully. Did you finish that scripture?
Verse 17. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up.
The zeal for your house has eaten me up. You see, you cannot serve God if you don't love his house. You must love the house of God. You must. When I was coming up in the Lord, I told God that anything you want me to be, I will be. I've been an usher. I carried chairs. My car, it becomes a car during the week. On the weekends, it becomes a taxi and also becomes a van. Everything all together. Lord, anything you want me to be, I'm here. I'm yours. love his house. I remember the church I used to go to was always late. Every time, when we say church starts at 10, sometimes we'll even start at 11. I said in my house, in my heart, that this is not right. I gathered some brothers in the church. I said, from today, our church will start on time. And so we would come to church an hour early and prepare the church and make sure that the church starts on time. Nobody went, and I just saw that, okay, there's a loophole in our church. Let me do something. In that particular church, we only used to come to church on Sundays. And then on Wednesdays, we'd come and have meetings. So I looked at this, they said, every Wednesday meeting. When are we going to know the word of God? So I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I've got a passion to go to hospitals and pray for the sick and lead them to Christ. Will you allow me to do it? My pastor said, oh, by all means, do it. I gathered some people in the church and we started what we call ministries. So on Wednesdays, we would come, share the word of God, pray, prepare ourselves for Sunday, when we used to go to hospitals those days. And we used to go and preach to the people, lead them to Christ, pray for them. Some of them would get healed. And we even took the work even further. People we don't know, they didn't even come to our church. We would write their names, write their addresses. And then after they get discharged, we would go and visit them in their homes and check them. Are you okay? Do you still love God? Please find a church close to you. But today's Christians are happy to be chairpersons. Ask your neighbor, say, you look like a chair. Are you a chairperson? Are you angry with me? You have to develop a love for the house of God. You must. When you see those kids at the back there, you say, but the kids are just sitting there. And they're even making noise during service. And I'm here. Pastor, I love kids. During the service, I can sit with them outside and teach them one or two scriptures. You have become a shepherd. You are doing something for God. It's not rocket science. It's that simple. There's something you can do for the Lord. Pastor, I see mostly lady ushers. We don't have male ushers. I'm an usher from today. Some people, they think that they're going to have to go and kill off all their sins and divorce Macbeth and Limang Limang. And look, you don't have to. Just start serving God. And as you get more serious, certain things will start dropping off your life. Dropping off your life. Dropping off your life. When I was new in the faith, I also had that mind. That I want to stop all my sins first. And no matter how I tried, I couldn't. Then one day, I just joined the church and I just did everything they were doing. Months later, I looked, I said, where are my sins? I can't find you. They had fallen off. Without even trying, just giving myself to God. Hallelujah. So love the house of God. Every opportunity you have to be in the house of God, be there. And start putting some priority in the house of God. Priority. There's a man of God called Kenneth Hagin, who is now late. He passed away around 2003. Back then, when he started serving God, he was very poor. And he would just use his 2 feet like this and walk to wherever he would be preaching. He walked till the soles of his shoes became flat. They were almost finished. And years later, when I started loving God, my church was plus minus 15 kilometers from where I was living. And every now and then, I didn't have money to catch a taxi. And I used to encourage myself, Kenneth Hagin used to do it, I can do it also. And I adjust my two feet, my suit, and my yellow tie. Those who know what it means, my yellow tie. I walk, holding my Bible, my notebook, and my pen. Professional Christian. Let's just walk. You just reminded me, asking, where's your Bible? Tell your neighbor that in this church, there's only one thing we want. You must have a Bible. Tell your neighbor, please, have a Bible. Bibles are like 60 rand or something. Just one more month with your hairstyle, okay? Just one more month. Tell them one more month and buy a Bible. Then in the following month, you'll change the hairstyle. A serious Christian has a Bible, a notebook, and a pen. What did I say? A Bible. Yeah. I'm watching you. If any brother comes and says, you know, you look so beautiful. Oma, why are you laughing? It's safe for me to come to you. It's safe. Check if they have a Bible and notebook and a pen. If they don't have a Bible and notebook and a pen, they are not a serious person. Sisters, you are not saying amen. I can't. These sisters are very suspect. Hallelujah. I would carry my Bible, my notebook, and my pen. And I'll walk 15 kilometers to church. And I used to be an usher. And I would usher. Nobody knew. If it was you, you would say, I'm tired. And Katele, I was walking. My feet. Hey, that they are swollen. The whole world will know that you are walking. I just used to come. Nobody knew. Sometimes I only had money for one trip. So because we used to finish late at night, it's okay. I'll catch a taxi to come back. But to go, I will go with my feet. I go. So I love the house of my God. Hallelujah. Until you fall in love with the house of God, you will not serve. Give yourself. Allow God to use you. One time my car, we were coming from Sunnyside from a convention. My car sits 5 people, but I think that day we had 10 to 15 people. Hey! Another person will say, oh pastor, my shock absorbers, my inhab, my brake pads. Because the people wanted to be in that convention and we didn't have transport. My car was available. I said, let's see what we do. And we went. I love my God. I love the house of my God. I will give myself for my God. I will give everything I have for my God. So that when I die, I've got no regrets. So Lord, I tried everything. I was not the most talented pastor. I'm not a prophet. I mean, I'm not shy to say I'm not a prophet. These days, if you are not a prophet, it's like you're a sub. I am a pastor, and I am happy to be a pastor. My God called me to be a pastor, and that is what I am. That's what I am. And I'll do my best as a pastor. My best ability is to teach. So I'll teach you. I won't be telling you what's in your fridge. I don't know what's in your fridge. I tell you, I don't know. I don't know. Those who know what's in their fridge, it's good. It's their gift. Let them flow in their gift. Me also, I just teach you. I just teach you. Just teach you. It's my gift also. I like it. Let me flow in also my calling and my gift. Stop trying to change me to be something I'm not. Hallelujah. So, also, get involved. Get involved. Stop making excuses. You've got excuses for days, for day. Every day, a new excuse. Sometimes I just marvel at the excuses that church members have. Professional excuse makers. Listen, Kwate. If you are getting angry, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about someone else. There are people who are professional excuse makers. Professional. Oh, where were you last week? You know, last week, and it's like, you know, they think on their feet. You see, some of us, we have to now plan it for days to come and lie to someone. Then they are fast. They are so used to it. So, you know, so yesterday, last week, this happened, and this. No, we understand. And me, pastor, thinking that you are telling your pastor the truth. Lord, I pray for your daughter. I pray for your son. Bless that time, hey. Am I talking to somebody? Why am I saying the things I'm saying as I close? The Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he had compassion. Heartbroken. Because they were weary. And they were sheep. They were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. Pastor, but you know, I don't know too many things. There's someone who doesn't know the one scripture that you don't know, that you know. The one scripture that you know, someone doesn't know. Christians don't care for each other anymore. If now I just ask you, who's sitting next to you? Utwanali. And you've been going to the same church with the same person for years. You don't know their name. Because we've become chairpersons, glorified chairpersons, ready to be offended. I'm Zwilum Fundis. Khalil. Khalil. You won't take time. Exchange numbers. I'll check on you during the week. You send them some scriptures. Who has died by doing that? Who has died? My sister, every Wednesday we have home cells. We've got Bible study groups. I invite you. You come and sit together and share the word of God and pray together. Have you died by doing that? Saving someone's life. One guy, Obed, came to me and said, if I never met you, I would be dead. Because the type of friends he had were bad, bad, bad. One time his friends came to call him and he wasn't at home and they were going to kill another person. That's the type of friends he had. So the community knew that there were bad people, these guys. When the police came, they were even looking for him. He said, I wasn't there. And the Lord brought him to the church. He got saved. He started serving God. and said to me, if I never met you, I'd either be dead or in jail. And there are many people who need you. They need you. Just to care. To care. When you don't see them, you find out, oh, I haven't seen you. Where have you been? Just to care. Just to invite them. Let's go to church. Let's go. Some of the people that invite, that come to visit you on Sunday when you know you should be at church, just grab them by the hand. Let's go. Let's go. You don't know how powerful the word of God is. It can change their lives, transform their lives. Even though I'm not a prophet, God has a way that through my little teaching, it's like I know your problem. And it's like I go to your problem. It's the word of God. On its own, it's powerful. On its own. Hallelujah. I pray that you will join the army of God. I pray that you will become a shepherd. I pray that you will grow in your walk with God. I pray that you will not just be a Christian who is just a self-looking Christian, but you will care about other believers also. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet as you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on, say it.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. May God be with you.